Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Part of the podcast covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian. The, quote, best 4-6 team in America, end quote. He'll be flying to Starkville a little bit later today. For the Tigers tilt against Mississippi State tomorrow. Parth, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. I'm not flying to Starkville.
This is this has been a challenging year. Penny looks, I don't want to say defeated, but he looks defeated.
Exhausted, right? Like just kind of mentally drained.
Yeah.
By the way, they're losing these games too. I mean, they've got 6 losses and 4 of them have come by 9 or fewer points. Those 4 happen to be against teams that are in the top 60 of KenPom, top 100 of the net. So kind of golden opportunities slipping through their fingers kind of, you know, left and right. Some of those go another way. You're looking at, you know, even if 2 of those swing the other way, you're looking at a 6-4, 7-3 season, and we're having just drastically different discussions about this team. We're talking about a team that, you know, at that point would have picked up more than 1 quality win. We're talking about this thing coming together quicker than Penny anticipated initially. But we're just not there.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is when you're putting it together, it's a team full of guys that have never done that at any level. Why are we surprised that they're not doing it at this level?
In terms of just what, winning meaningful basketball games?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, it's like you're, you know, I do think that's kind of unrealistic, you know? I mean, you're, I know the schedule is set years in advance. But it couldn't be more obvious that this was way too much for them, like at current.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, almost not, right? Like, they've competed against everybody except for Louisville. They got their heads beat in on the road there. And then UNLV, you know, the team couldn't show up. So that one was a ugly loss. But they've held their own, right? Like, so.
They have, but what do they have to show for it?
A 4-6 record, obviously.
What else? They have, they're 121 in the net.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's Tulsa?
Tulsa is not 124, 73rd.
Right.
73rd in the net.
And they played nobody.
73rd in KenPom, excuse me.
I think Tulsa's, they're higher in the net.
They're higher in the net. They're like 46th, I believe, in the net.
Now, again, it's December, and the net doesn't really matter in December.
No.
My only point is that, like, the University of Memphis is going to have a hellacious time working their way out of 121 in the net. Like, at this point, it doesn't even really matter because they're out of the at-large discussion.
There's just not enough games left, right? Like, there's only 8 quad 1 or 2 opportunities left in the entire season, right? There's 21 games left, but only 8 of them mean anything as far as moving the needle.
Quad 1 or 2?
quad one or two.
Yeah.
And, you know, from what we've seen with this team, especially some of the mental mistakes down the stretch, who's to say that they won't lose, you know, three of those, right? Three or four? Like,
I don't know. It will happen. I mean,
I don't see this team going, you know, just, you know, 18-0 in conference play.
Like,
do y'all?
Memphis is behind Stephen F. Austin in the net. They're behind Mercer in the net. They're behind St. Thomas, Minnesota in the net. They're behind Hawaii in the net. I mean, they are behind some absolutely dog programs in the net this year.
After scheduling, you know, more aggressively than kind of anybody, right, at the high major level in the country.
They added Utah State.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I get it.
And the net only means so much in December, like you said.
No,
so.
I mean, it will probably settle, my guess is, as a 70-80 team in the net because they will win some games.
For sure.
In the American, but that's not an at-large resume.
Not.
You know, so I don't know. I don't think Tulsa will finish whatever they are, 47 in the net.
47.
They will finish probably the same way that Memphis finishes, because that's just what happens. Your net gets dragged down when you play American teams and you don't, you know, win by a billion. I don't know. It's just there's no perfect answer. But, you know, you just wonder how different would it be if they had not lost to UNLV and if had they beaten Wake Forest. I mean, the season could look entirely different if that had happened.
Yeah, just off two games, right? And we're talking about games. Well, UNLV was a blowout, but, you know, all you had to do was show up.
You were a 14-point favorite.
All they had to do was show up, right?
It was
a UNLV team missing three starters, right?
Yes.
So if that one goes a different way, even if they have to eke that one out, whatever.
That's the one that's killing you, because they're 199 at the net.
Right. That's the one that's kind of like
destroying you.
You know, that's the anchor that's weighing your resume down right now.
And that's not going to get better. Like, they're 4-6. Doubtful. They're not that great. I mean, you know.
They lost to what? Tennessee State, right?
Yeah, they lost to Tennessee
State. Shout out Nolan Smith.
Nolan Smith did it again last night. Beat Tennessee Martin.
A
much better Tennessee Martin team. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's any perfect strategy, because, you know, if you beat up on a bunch of cupcakes, you're not tested. And what does it really even mean? Because ultimately, you know, is that enough? Like, if Memphis had played a bunch of jabronis in the non-conference and was 32nd in the net, but they didn't play anybody, they wouldn't really be an at-large team either. So,
because then those numbers kind of come down to earth when you go to American play. Like you said, you beat teams by 5, 6, 7 points. This is not enough, right? So you kind of have to schedule this way. Maybe not entirely this way.
I think there's a middle ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
I would probably schedule 3 to 4 of these a year instead of like 9.
Yeah, like right now, for context, Memphis has played the 8th toughest schedule in the country, according to KenPom. So you probably don't have to go to that extreme.
Right.
But at the same time, you can't schedule like a Big 12 school, like an SEC school would, you know, in the non-conference. You can't just schedule jabronis, like you said.
Yep.
Should Hassan Abdul-Hakim be the number one option as opposed to Doug? Last year, we saw Tyrese Hunter at times take the step back and pretty much say, PJ, you go get it, and leading in that way. I do feel like Penny's been at a disadvantage, and maybe you're a little bit further along in terms of your pecking order if this guy had been out there, because he's shown how useful he is. I just wonder, could you, you know, they've put so much on Doug's sort of shoulders, saying at times, man, you just go out and create the offense. Can Hassan Abdul-Hakim be a guy that you're creating it through regularly?
I think so. I think he showed that, you know, starting off at Louisville when he scored 17 points. Obviously, those were kind of empty stats in a 26-point blowout.
Some one-on-one
whatever that was
in there, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
But then he did it again, right? He did it again against Vanderbilt and got that bucket that sent the game to overtime. Kind of his blend of skill, size, athleticism, craftiness, right? He has the makings of being that kind of 1A to Doug's 1B. I think Doug can be a 1, but it has to be a, does that make sense? Like a 1A, 1B
thing.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. It can't be every single night.
You know, relying on a 5'11 point guard to, hey, go out and win us ball games. Like, Kendrick Davis did that, but even Kendrick had DeAndre Williams, right? Like, Kendrick wasn't doing it solo.
Well, Kendrick Davis and Doug McDaniel are not even in the same stratosphere.
No, but I'm saying, in terms of, talk about, like, you know, like, undersized, 5'11.
But Doug McDaniel was coming in with, like, you knew what he was. He was, like, a guy that was sort of, you know, much maligned, had issues at Kansas State, not winning, couldn't stay on the floor and get Michigan because of academic stuff. Like, Kendrick was coming in as an All-American type. You know, Doug was never that and will never be that.
Doug showed flashes of some of that. I'm not, you know, comparing him to Kendrick Davis is crazy, right? Different stratosphere, like you
Kendrick
said.
Kendrick Davis was number one and coveted.
Right.
But Doug was a backup plan.
Right.
No, but for, like, Doug showed you he could, you know, at least in the American Conference, be that dude, right? Like, with what he did at Michigan. Of course, last season went horribly, but the entire team was horrible at Kansas State. With some of the stuff he flashed at Michigan.
You think that dude, I don't think he's...
In the American Conference, bro?
He has moments, but I find him to be an extremely frustrating player.
I thought
player.
He was going to win American Conference Player of the Year. I think he still could.
I don't know. I need more from him. I mean, I think he's really inconsistent. I mean, I think that's the, like, and that's the book on him. It's like, if it's going well for him early, like, it's going to go well for him. But if he, like, even against Louisville, like, I know he scored double figures, but he didn't do that in the context of a meaningful, you know.
No, the game.
I mean, he
well
beat Wake Forest. If you tell him to miss the free throw, beat Wake Forest down the stretch. He did that. He got to the line after the
debacle. No, that's true. He has flashes. He's a good player.
Not a perfect player. He's not Kendrick. But we knew that when you didn't get P.J. Haggerty and you had to settle for Doug McDaniel. There's a reason he wasn't the first priority.
But to live and die with the game on Doug McDaniel's shoulders, I don't think that's
the wrong way to
that's
go.
That's not the right move.
I think any college basketball coach would tell you that if Doug McDaniel is your best player, you're in trouble.
He can be one of your best players. I think he's a talented guy.
That's why I'm asking about Hassan.
I think he's a leader. I think he's a talented guy.
So that he's not having to be the best.
I mean, I'm with you 100%. Like, Hassan has to start being the top option because he's got the body.
I think it helps Doug if you allow that to happen.
Yes.
Not so much.
And then Doug becomes your second, or, you know, I mean, there's really
some nights one. He could be one. I'm just saying, you have to step up in the way that Tyrese and BJ were kind of doing it.
For sure. For sure.
Dane late in the year. I mean, Dane, you had three guys at the end of last year that could.
Who's third?
Dane, Tyrese, and PJ.
Oh, Tyrese, I'm sorry.
Before he got hurt.
For sure.
Yeah,
it's just been so weird with this team, right? There's not, like, even with spending, you know, the majority of the roster was on campus since June 1st, but there's no clear pecking order or hierarchy. And Penny talked about this after the Vanderbilt loss, that, you know, everybody is trying to contribute. And everybody can contribute, but everybody's trying to be the guy, right? Like, when things kind of get in disarray, when the moment requires somebody to grab a hold of it, there's not a clear idea of who's going to, you know, grab the reins, right?
That's why I'm so surprised, Parth, to that observation that Penny hasn't grabbed a hold of it more, that with this team, especially, some pecking orders happen naturally and organically. Uh-huh. Last year's did. This one has not, guys, in and out. So that's where it feels like to me. You got to be the one, right, that says, okay, we're going to have a pecking order and this is it for now. It seems like that's what's missing.
No, it's weird, right? Because, you know, you look at just a few games ago, Zach Davis scores 23 points. We're thinking, you know, could he be the 1B, 1A, whatever? Hassan Abdul-Hakim has 17 and 1/2 against a top 15 Louisville team. Sincere Parker pops off for 18 against Vanderbilt. Curtis Givens III, Julius Thedford, Quante Berry, Aaron Bradshaw, and Ashton Hardaway have all also scored at least 16 points. So you've got really, six, seven guys that have shown capabilities, but it's just been kind of a carousel, so to speak, and that's not really good this deep into the year.
Yeah, tomorrow Memphis will go off to Starkville. They are 3.5-point underdogs. What does this game mean? What's the meaning of you know, if the Tigers win tomorrow, what will it mean?
I think you need it for just morale, right? Like, and you can't really measure that tangibly, but, you know, you've already had one 4-game losing streak. You know, you dug your way out of that. Obviously, Southern Illinois and New Orleans were kind of provided a nice cushion, right, after coming back from the Bahamas and playing Purdue and Wake Forest. Mississippi State is not a slouch in that regard, but this is a gettable game, man. This is a game against a team that struggled. Yeah, they've got Josh Hubbard, who's been electric. I think he had 34 points on Tuesday against Long Island. But that's kind of their offense, right? Like, we talk about putting the ball in one guy's hands and living or dying. That's what Mississippi State does. So you take Hubbard out of this game, and I think this is one that is gettable and is almost a must-get just in terms of the team's psyche and morale at this point in the season.
Where are we at with Aaron Bradshaw?
Man, I thought that was, you know, obviously we've talked about it ad nauseum, but the comments that Dane Bradshaw made regarding, well, I guess what Penny told him about the NIL stuff, that's interesting. I wonder how much finding had occurred before the Baylor game, because if we can get that Aaron Bradshaw again, man, like, this team could be something, right?
Yeah. Man. I don't even know if that's going to do it. I mean, you'd like to just think one fine would get it done, and all of a sudden you got a new guy, but that doesn't seem like it's going to be the case with Aaron Bradshaw. I wonder, you know, I know you're so invested in him, Penny, and so, you know, so much of that $4 to $5 million, whatever you got for roster, is going to him. But I just wonder if you need to, and especially the way Hassan is able to rebound, if you need to scale down. I don't know if it's moving
out of the starting lineup. Not Bradshaw.
Well, no, just moving Hassan to more of the big guy, and Bradshaw to less of a. You know, less of a dependency on him. I know maybe from, you know, what you're paying. Well, wait a minute, we're so invested. What do you mean? But I you just used the word morale. I think Bradshaw is lowering morale to where you almost need to get him you know, use him as little as possible. And I'm asking, can Hassan, who had double-digit rebounds the next game, maybe you need to scale down, go small, and have Hassan as either your four or your five, is what I'm saying. Lessen the dependence on Aaron Bradshaw, or else this is just going to be, you know, head-scratching all year long.
I think, and this might be a hot take or controversial take, whatever, I think Memphis needs to do a better job of being intentional to get the ball to Bradshaw. Like, he had two field goal attempts all game, you know, against...
Penny keeps saying that.
Against Vanderbilt. Against Louisville, he barely touched the ball. But he needs to touch the ball. Or like they did with Dane, right? Remember with Dane, they activated Dane, right? Like, they put Dane in positions to win, and then the momentum started going. And then you saw Dane gain confidence and swagger. Yeah. And
that's the problem, is that we're comparing this one to Dane, it feels like. Because he ain't Dane. And you're not... I know that. I almost think like it's fool's gold that 14-7, I think, or whatever it was against Baylor. Like, because you think you
can. 17-7.
17-7, excuse me. Because you tell yourself, all right, it's there to be gotten out of.
Right.
And then you're going to spend the rest of the season trying to do it and setting everybody else and yourself back in trying.
Exactly.
And you see what I'm saying with that? Like,
and Baylor was like a really small team, too, right? Like, relative.
For sure.
You know, they didn't have any.
They had athletes everywhere, but they didn't have no 7-1 guy. No.
I just vehemently disagree with Penny's opinion that Aaron Bradshaw needs more shots.
I agree with it.
I totally disagree with it.
Your starting big man shot the ball twice.
He doesn't have any ability. Why am I trying to get him offense? He can't. What is he going to do? He doesn't have any moves. He doesn't have any bag.
Just for simple gravitational purposes. Like, you get him offense. Okay, now he's drawing defenders. Right now he's cutting to the basket. You got two guys following him. You got a wide open 3-pointer for Quante Berry or Ashton Hardaway or Abdul Hakeem or whoever.
They tried to get him in some post-up situations against Vanderbilt, and like, they just, and they're super small.
Vanderbilt's really small. I'm surprised he didn't get going against Vandy.
Because he's not good. That's why.
He's shown enough for it to be tantalizing, like you said, right? For us to be like,
After Baylor, and then I'm going into Vandy figuring, oh, this is perfect for Aaron Bradshaw.
Yeah, a bunch of guards.
Like,
yeah,
no doubt.
6'3" guards, like, should be a field day for a 7-1 guy, like, you know.
I mean, I just think like we're trying to hold on to this, you know, idea of him, right? That he's a number two, former number, but he ain't that dude anymore, man. He ain't that dude. He's never been that dude. He wasn't that dude at Kentucky. He wasn't that dude at Ohio State. And honestly, outside of like one fluke game against Baylor, he ain't done that here.
I mean,
that's, you know, I'm not, you're not Penny. I'm not trying to, you do like him. You do seem to think there's something there, and I'm trying to beat it out of you. I'm trying to convert you.
I think there has to be something there for this team to be like what Penny had envisioned it being, right? When he made those comments about second most talented and, you know, the ceiling being so high for this team. Like, that includes Aaron Bradshaw. That vision, that...
Well, what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't? What if we're at December 19th and we're 10 games into the season and we have to now confront reality, which is that my vision for this team is not the right one? That I need to maybe, instead of focusing on Aaron Bradshaw, I need to focus on Hassan Abdul-Hakeem.
They
need to focus
on different positions.
Tarik Ingram. Tarik Ingram way better than, I mean, he's getting in shape, you know?
I see a way more useful big with him. That's what I'm saying. Stop wasting time on Aaron Bradshaw and invest time on seeing what you can get out to Tarik Ingram, who's in better shape than when he started the year.
He actually has transformed his body already.
Keep in mind,
pretty amazing.
I would just throw this on the Aaron Bradshaw conversation in terms of how tantalizing it might feel or whatever else. There's what you get, and then you don't get on the court. There's also what we're hearing and what they told us from that ESPN crew behind the scenes that you've had to hold back $20,000 from, according to Shoemaker, over the Daily Helmsman in fines because of dress code and being late. That's not a dude who's coming to play for behind the scenes.
Not ideal.
Who's locked in or engaged.
And
he doesn't deserve to be out there.
I'm supposed to get that guy
more
shots?
That's what I'm getting. He doesn't deserve to be out there, is my point.
Yes.
So you should be cutting ties and admitting the mistake that is, we invested too much in this dude. But to this point, feels like it's setting you back in those ways. Again, if he's getting fined because you constantly but you're constantly throwing him back out there and saying he needs more shots, how does that make the rest of these bigs feel? That you're telling every day in practice they can earn more? That just kills, to your point, morale. And it's coming with these losses. I know it feels like we're piling this all onto Parth's plate and saying, why doesn't Penny do this with Aaron?
No, but he does agree, though. He stands with his coach.
But I'm surprised you're still here on Aaron, and I guess that's why we're trying to pull you to this other side.
I am a little surprised that you think he needs more shots.
At some point, they stopped on Jordan Brown.
Right.
Right? They stopped. He's not good enough. He's not going to get it.
Isn't it time for Aaron Bradshaw to have an illness? I mean, it's almost, you know, Christmas.
This is what I'm saying. Against Baylor, less than Yeah, so like about 2 weeks ago against Baylor, 13 days ago, he had 17-7, right? Since the two games that have passed since then, I think he shot a total of 5 or 6. This is not enough volume for at least me to make a determination and say, okay, this isn't it. Like, he hasn't gotten a fair
There was a whole smattering of games before the Baylor game, though.
But if we're holding on to the fact that Baylor was some kind of magical turning point.
Who's holding on to it? Why are you holding on to that?
If you want to test that theory, that theory has not been tested.
Does Zach Davis need more shots? Does Zach Davis need, because he looked amazing. In fact, I want to send Zach Davis to Lemoyne.
But Zach Davis is shooting the ball, though.
Brad keeps
this thing is wrapped up.
He's saying it's over. We got to get out of here.
Take this passion down to Starkville.
Man. Yeah.
Tigers
prediction.
Basketball.
Hopefully it's contagious.
Prediction tomorrow. Give me a prediction.
You want a score prediction?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see.
Don't go to Ken Pom.
Don't go to Ken Pom. No Ken Pomeroy. No Ken Pom. All right. Let me get Memphis 78, Mississippi State 73.
A win for the Tigs.
A tight win, but a win nonetheless.
You homer.
They do it. Aaron Bradshaw
goes off.
Mississippi
State is a bad basketball team, man.
40-20 for Aaron Bradshaw.
This is winnable, to your point. It's
totally winnable. They should win.
Bill Simmons,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's part of the pod.
I hope it happens, brother.
Covers the Tigers for the Daily at Memphis.
Thanks,
brother. You stood in here, and you held your ground.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale.
And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.